full renovation is justified to get a great return on the increase in rent, and we'll do that. If not, maybe we do the medium type of renovation. Maybe then we go down to the classic renovation, basic baseline renovation, or maybe it just justifies a quick turn.
If you have over $200,000 sitting stagnant in your bank, retirement account, or home equity, then you're literally losing money. On this show, you learn how to get that money working for you consistently and conservatively. Learn to grow your nest egg with your host, Sean Winslow. Let's dive in.
Welcome back to another Finance Friday episode. I'm your host, Sean Winslow, and this is the Multifamily Money Podcast. What's going on, everybody? You know the drill. Coming at you on Fridays with all things personal finance, because we've got to get your money not only working smarter for you, but harder, because it's not what you make, but what you keep. At the end of the day, we want to accomplish our goals, our dreams. We need to get our money right first, right? Without your money right, you can't really solve other problems. You'll be worried about the money, right? You'll be worried about, I got to pay this, I can't afford this. But once you get your money right, that's one thing put aside, and we can then make this world a better place, right? And today I want to talk about something business related. It could be real estate specific. It could be if you're any business owner. Really, it's kind of anything in life. And I want to talk about, because I recently had a conversation with some high-level real estate operators. Each owns thousands of doors on their own, probably combined over 10,000 units. Obviously, as I always say, unit count isn't everything. But at that point, you can tell there's some type of scale, and they've obviously scaled. And so we're having a conversation of when to scale and when to stabilize, right? Specifically, the conversation came from that recent foreclosures we've seen in the real estate market, specifically these larger portfolios, and the one I've talked about on this show specifically, and what can happen, where this kind of stems from. And one of the factors we talked about is scaling too fast. And that was part of the issue in that case of that deal in Houston, or those multiple deals in Houston, and how we feel that's going to continue, right? There was a lot of people that scaled really fast over the last 3 years on the coattail and the tailwinds of cheap money and explosion in valuations and explosion in rental rates. Yeah, rental growth has really, really strong tailwinds for people to scale really fast, faster than probably normal. And with that comes, in any business, scaling fast comes growing pains. So this is going to be a short solo episode, but I just want to have a conversation about, is scaling too fast, can that be an issue? And when do you know when to scale and when you should stabilize? It's sexy to talk about scaling fast. Like, it's sexy to be able to say, I added 1,000 doors to my portfolio last year. You know, it's sexy to say, I have now have $500 million in AUM. Like, that is sexy to say, no question about it. But at what cost? You know, we've seen some people that went from $0 to $1 billion in AUM, over $1 billion in AUM in the last 3 years. That's crazy growth, crazy scale. So to me, when you should scale versus stabilize, I think any successful entrepreneur, real estate investor, operator, the way they've done it, at least from what I've seen from people I know and doing research on other successful entrepreneurs and operators, is that they scale. So first, before they scale, they set up SOPs. And if you're not familiar with that, standard operating procedures, and they set up these SOPs to run their business, right? And they scale until one or several breaks. Then they stop scaling. Then they go back, retool their SOPs so that it works with that new scale. And then once everything is running smoothly, once they've stabilized that current size of their business, then they go back to scaling. And then they scale until they break those new SOPs. And then once those SOPs break, they go through that same process, that process of saying, okay, why did our SOP for this break? Okay, it broke because of this. Well, okay, what can we do? How can we tailor this, change this SOP, so now going forward at this size, it won't break? And then you make those corrections. You train and teach your team the new SOP, the new standard operating procedure. And then you run that for a little while, make sure it doesn't break again. Okay, it doesn't break. It's working at this size. All right, let's scale again. You keep repeating this process. And I'll give you an example for facts. So one of our SOPs in terms of turning units, right? When you got to turn a unit and get it leased up again. So our standard operating procedure is, depending on your state, by law, they have to give you, most states we're in, 30-day notice, right? 30 to 60-day notice, depending on the state, right? Well, we like to get 60 to 90-day notice. So when we know that lease is coming up at the 90 days out, we ask, are you going to be renewing? You don't always get it yes or no, but when we do get that no, we're not going to be renewing, we immediately schedule to go into that unit, assess the shape of the unit, what we would need for either a make ready, a turn, or a complete renovation. Once we decipher what that decision is, and that's based on a lot of, I've talked about this before, ROI. So knowing what we can get in rent premium and knowing what we have to put into this unit to get it to that standard, what's the ROI? And then if full renovation is justified to get a great return on the increase in rent, we'll do that. If not, maybe we do the medium type of renovation. Maybe then we go down to the kind of classic renovation, basic baseline renovation, or maybe it just justifies a quick turn where you maybe just paint and clean, maybe flooring here and there. Once you make that decision on what is needed, then you go order those materials. And 90 days out is great. Sometimes you can only get 60, but 90 days is great because you know when you order that material, if you're not already warehousing it, that you're going to have it in time. So you either have a place to store it on property or somewhere nearby, like in a storage facility. And then once that move out comes, or once you're leading up to that, you have that material, right? And then before that move out happens, you're already scheduling your contractors and subcontractors on what is needed. You're already going over the plan. Okay, this needs new flooring, new paint, clean. Countertops are good, but we need new cabinet face, whatever it happens to be, right? So you're going through the plan and they're saying, okay, this sub's coming this day, final inspection on this day, and then good to go, right? So you're getting all this planned out ahead of time. So then once that day does come when they move out, immediately you have your cleanup team come in, clean everything out. If you need some tear down, then that happens on that day too. Junk everything out. And then your teams are in there to do the renovate or the turn or the make ready, whatever it happens to be. And then part of our SOP is to have that ready to lease within 72 hours. So that's part of our standing operating procedure, right? So for instance, say we're at 100 units and the way we have, I didn't go into complete detail with all the checklists and the workflow of how the documents and step-by-step goes. You'd want to run this in like a monday.com or an Asana, keep everything organized and on track. So I haven't gotten into step-by-step everything we do, but let's say we're at 100 units and everything just runs smooth right now. It's great, right? Running on all cylinders. Well, let's say we just had a killer year and now we're up to 300 units. And say there's something within the process that breaks down. For instance, let's say for some reason we're not getting an inspection done on the initial inspection done on time, right? We just aren't getting there to assess and what needs to be ordered, which then the product is coming late and we're held up when it's time. When the tenant moves out, we don't have everything there. Well, now you got to reverse engineer and see, okay, what is breaking down? Okay, well, we need some more manpower on the front end to make sure we're getting all these inspections scheduled on time, all the call outs to the resident to schedule time to come the inspection, right? We don't have enough manpower, so we need to add manpower. That's just an example, right? And so you then retool the process going forward for 300 units. And now say a year, year and a half goes, and you've really grown and you're at 750 units. And then that something in that process breaks again. You got to go back and retool it. And so this, to me, is what you really need to be looking at. Not only your P&L, but your every procedure, every process you need to be looking at and how you can better it, right? What's not tracked is not managed, right? So what is not measured is not managed. What's not managed, you can't improve. So you should always be tracking and measuring your SOPs so you can manage them and thereby improve them. So you can always improve everything. Everything can always get better. You want to be getting input from everyone on your team. This shouldn't just be some leadership. Okay, let's do this. Let's do this. No, you want to talk to the individuals actually doing the job. What works for them? What doesn't work for them? What they think could make it run smoother. And this is something we should, any business owner, whether you're real estate or what have you, should be focusing on. Because to me, it's people, culture, and processes, right? That can make or break any organization. You need all three running, maybe synced up, running in tandem. So I just want to get on here and share that because I feel like a lot of not always considered, right? Like I mentioned before, the unit count, the assets under management, that's the sexy thing, right? To grow, 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 grow. At what point can that cause a lot of pain? We've already seen it. I feel we're going to see it again because when money's cheap, when there's a lot of opportunity, it's easy to scale. And then you got emotional forces of people having FOMO and they see their friend investing in the property. They want to get in on it. So it's really easy to raise capital. It's really easy to get cheap debt. And now things are changing. And not only things are changing in that sense, but obviously things are getting tighter from a budget standpoint. If you have floating or adjust rate loans, everything's getting tighter. And this is when operations are really going to be important. And this is where you need to focus on those SOPs to make sure everything's buttoned up and you can weather any storm. So to me, that's how you grow. You scale your SOPs until they break, and you stop, you retool them, You stabilize. Once everything's been running smoothly for a decent amount of time, then you start scaling again until it breaks again. And you just keep doing that over and over and over. I feel a lot of people did not do that in the last 3 years, and they just scaled. And there's going to be some pain. All right, everybody. I hope you got value out of this. And as always, if you did, could you please share this with someone who you think could get value from this? That's how we get in front of more people. I do this show to help others, to meet awesome individuals that reach out to me that listen to the show like I do all the time. The way that I know how to do that is to get this in front of more people. And also leaving a rating or review, whether that's on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or if you listen, or if you watch on YouTube, subscribe, hit the like button, leave a comment. That helps with the algorithm too. So that's how we get in front of more people. And I would greatly appreciate it if you did that. And as always, easy doesn't pay well, and instant gratification is self-destructive. So not only get out there and work hard for your money, but have your money work hard for you. So we can create the lives of our dreams. We can focus on personal excellence, because I feel like that's what makes this world a better place. And that's what we should all do. All right, everybody. I'll catch you on the next one.
Hey, this is Sean Winslow. After being in the financial service industry for years and having candid conversations with good people just like you, I realized that so many of us are wanting an investment strategy that provides solid returns and consistent income without the bumps in the road. There's little known secret that your financial advisor doesn't want you to know. There is investment out there that is less volatile and the returns are stronger. Get more details by going to greenbriercg.com and clicking on the free e-report. And by the way, if this show has provided you any value, then feel free to leave an honest written review and, of course, share it with a friend who needs it. See you next week for another great show.